Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. It is our number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. General at your service, at ease. Right next to me, Kevin Hanglin from the KMC Masterpiece hanging out. He just, you know, can't get enough of creating content here for you at 105.3 The Fan. Down on the practice fields currently, you do have three members of the G-Bag Nation, Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo, and Brian Broaddus, and Heggie in 10 minutes. They're going to be doing the offensive lineman pass rush one-on-one. So it is the most anticipated moment of training camp so far, and we'll cover it here for you live in the nation.
Dude, I'm pumped about that. And gentlemen, if you're out there, I really want to see if you can get us any information about T-Billy. That's number 13, Tyron Billy Johnson. People have been talking about him, wide receiver around camp. And we found out today people call him T-Billy.
Ooh, I got eyes on T-Billy right now. He's got one sleeve on the left leg. The other one is naked, boys.
Great name. Alec Medford is in for Lucius Alexander today. Send Lucius some love on social media. Let him know he's missed. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. Of course, Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. You can hear those tackling sleds popping in the background.
Yeah, you can. Heck yeah, you can. Feeling good. Overshown's making that thing rattle right now, boys.
How we doing down there, Chief?
Doing good. Feeling better, man. Linebackers getting after it on the old sled. You can hear it pop. I'll tell you, this is a linebacker group you've already seen start to show up and look more like linebackers. I'm looking at Marquise Bell, and I'm like, I feel bad for him. How is this guy? How did he get thrown into the linebacker spot? Because he looks like a DB. And when you look at with the linebacker group right now, all these guys look like thoroughbred linebackers. It's just a different size out here. And Overshown definitely put some muscle on in the year where he's trying to rehab the knee. So he's looking good. And Eric Kendricks is first in line every time.
Yeah, we need those two guys. I mean, you look at last year, and yesterday Will McClay told us we got to play better defense. I don't know what happened to us last year collectively. Was it copium? Was it just a cowboy homerism that we decided, no, Dan Quinn's a genius. He's going to play 205-pound guys at linebacker. We're going to be great. It's actually an advantage.
Well, have you guys seen Damone Clark out there, and how has he been looking? Because that's another person who's picked up some size in the offseason.
Man, Damone Clark, I'll tell you, he's got some love there with that defensive coaching staff right now. Damone Clark might be a guy I think some cowboy fans wrote off a little bit. But, Brian, I think we've both been hearing really good things about Damone Clark.
Yeah, Mike Zimmer is really happy the way that Damone Clark has picked up things, and there were some questions about his instincts, but the physical ability is really there. It's just a matter of him getting on the page of everybody else of being able to understand where he fits in this defense.
Okay, MLB trade deadline is coming up now in 2 hours and 57 minutes. It's coming up at 5 o'clock Texas time. We're excited about that. Stay tuned. What might happen? Last night, the lineup was shaken up. And we got great results. They end up getting 6 runs with Josh Smith leading off, Marcus Semien hitting in the 3-hole for the first time in 2 years. Smitty was 2 for 4. Bang Bang was 3 for 5. Nate Lowe had 2 hits. The Rangers had a total of 13 hits. So I would say they got something there, Heggie.
And you know what? It sounds like Boach said they're going to keep it going like this, because he said keep an eye on this for the rest of the series, maybe beyond, because with Josh Young back in the lineup, they said they might shuffle it a little bit more. But if you're thinking it was Marcus off leadoff for a day, I'm not so sure about that.
No, I think at this point you need to just do whatever it can to change the energy, change how whatever ruts people are stuck in, whether that's post-World Series or frustration, there's a big rut. And one of the most consistent tools in that skipper's belt is shaking up the lineup. So I'm surprised it would take him so long to do it to this extent.
And, man, if you get a good offensive effort consistently out of this team, what you've seen from the pitching, what you've seen from the very back end of the bullpen is good enough to carry through.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Just get this lineup producing at a slightly above average level.
That's a good way to put it.
They're going to go win the division. Evaldi allowed 3 runs in 6 innings. Robertson, Sporzy, and Yates threw 3 innings scoreless, gave up just 1 hit.
Did you hear the quote from Robertson just to show how tough a time this year, this time of year is? He said, he was asked about, like, hey, what have these last couple of days been like? And he goes, ask me again at 5 o'clock if I'm still on this team or when I'm still on this team.
Oh, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, because he's like, not if, but when, because he was like, this is so stressful, and I bet he's far from the only one who feels that way.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I you're under 500, you know, you're a veteran. You're prepared for anything.
Yep.
I would be stunned and irritated and frustrated, and I think angered.
If they
trade a bullpen piece.
Man, if they get rid of Yates and Robertson, they're letting you know, hey, we're packing it up in terms of seriousness this year.
Sporzy looking pretty good last night. Did you want to jump in there with something, old Chuck? Was that you?
Well, I wonder if, you know, how would you guys feel if they decided to sell? With CY, for me, it's like if you're a buyer, he's swinging big. If you're selling, I think he's swinging big. And the name that I just have not wanted to part with, but if they really are going to sell, Nathan Eovaldi is probably netting you the biggest return.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It just I don't want to sell for bottom tier prospects, and I don't mean prospects who don't have upside. I mean prospects like who are going to low A or anything like that. If you're gonna make trades like that, give me a starter that can start next year in terms of pitching or a reliever that can be on this team next year. Then I'm probably willing to consider a lot.
Yeah, you know, if they trade Eovaldi, I would be stunned. 3.5 games back.
I'm with you at this point.
I'd be absolutely shocked, but I wonder if that's one of those things they're like, you know, we don't quite have it this year. Ooh. Maybe you can make a handshake agreement like Evo. You're just coming back and re-signing in free agency.
Yeah, and he might have his vesting option might go in. I know that's a mutual option right there, but maybe they asked him to do a contract extension. He's like, no thanks, and then they're like, well, we got to move off of you.
You know, I don't have a Ray Davis jersey, but if they sold, I would make one just so I could burn it. That's how strong I'll go there
the
with you.
The season after the World Series?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, you know, if that's how you want to own a team, Ray,
okay.
Giving away Eovaldi, they got a chance to repeat, you know?
Yeah.
You got enough reinforcements coming back and enough potential in here. I mean, MLB history is littered with great hitters struggling mightily in half of a season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you've been on this positivity Rangers bandwagon, right?
Yeah, I just think it's math. You know,
okay.
you have champions plus good health plus reinforcements. We know what kind of a baseball team they are. And then you look at the division. And who knows? Maybe the Astros are going to make a couple of more moves here. We did get the news that they've acquired Kikuchi.
Yep.
You say Kikuchi. It seems fitting, anyway, for a team like that they would acquire.
That's a guy you need to call the night before a game. Maybe somebody triggers a fire alarm because he's the one that, like, can't pitch well if he doesn't get 12 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
I hear you. They gave away Jake Bloss in return, the number 2 prospect in the Houston organization. And they also threw in their number 5 prospect, Joey Loperfido.
Dude, and that farm system sucks as is. And so this was a surprising amount they gave up for somebody who's like, all right, I'm your 5th starter. I don't know. I didn't love the move for the Astros. But then again, I guess I did because I want them to fail.
Now, as far as the Rangers go and the deadline coming up at 5 o'clock, again, we're 3 minutes away from the start of one-on-ones here live at Cowboys training camp. It is the G-Bag Nation plus Hagee hanging out here on the tennis courts. 3 live mics is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Get back to being you, menstclinic.com. The training camp coverage brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and by Guardian Cap. So one eye on Cowboys practice field, one eye on that trade deadline. You know, I'm positive. Hagee, where are you with it? And what do you guys think here with just a couple of hours to go? Do they need to do something here to push him over the top?
I do think that they need to do something, especially when you find out that Evan Carter is, I'm not saying for sure he's out for the rest of the season, but that part is not looking super good. So you just got Josh Young back. Cody Bradford is back. And I realize people sort of like, hey, Malley's coming, DeGrom's coming, the troops are coming. But we are creeping up on August. I want them to do something because they're the defending champions. In a normal year, I would probably be okay with, like, you got to make some deals, but you're the defending champions for the first time ever. Like, you're close enough. Let's go for it.
Yeah, you know, when you're that good and you can go for it, if you don't, I think major things are the problem. And when you do have success like last year, then I have to think, well, you know, it was just lucky. Because I do believe that organizations win championships. In the offseason, when CY said what you do after your first championship determines, you know, your legacy, I think, you know, those are important things to look at. And this ownership group historically has not needed much convincing to go super cheap on you.
True.
So, you know, I don't know if these last 24 months or whatever have been an outlier because of the new stadium that you just happened to win a World Series. But, you know, I want to believe that Ray is a guy that not only knows what it takes, but has passion and conviction to go out there and do what it takes.
I hope you're right.
I need some proof. We're 1 minute away from one-on-one starting, guys. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so right now, Brian, we're down here. We're watching the quarterbacks working with the wide receivers. We just got the horn, so hopefully we're getting a pivot here. But what stood out and caught your eye? I know a lot of people are wondering about Trey Lance so far in this camp.
Yeah, the thing with Trey Lance is he's been able to, seems like he's thrown the ball well inside. It's the throws he's had to make outside the numbers and near the sidelines. And you're right, Zach, we're getting a little one-on-one work at the end, at the other end there with the offense and defensive line. But with Trey Lance, though, yeah, everything inside seems to be okay for him. He tends to throw the ball with a little bit too much sail to it on the outside of the numbers.
All right, Brian and I are going to work our way back to the opposite field. Let's hope our connection can stand up because we're going to get these one-on-ones with the O-line in the D-line.
Yeah, and I'm headed that way as well, fellas. One of the things I found interesting, that whole time there you had all, everybody was in their own positional drills, and not working with the running backs was Deuce Vaughn. He was catching passes with the wide receivers and the quarterbacks, so Deuce Vaughn was not even working with the running backs there. And that youngster, the young dude, Nathaniel Pete with the speed, man, he's a heck of a lot thicker than you would imagine. I envisioned him like a thinner scat back kind of dude. No, that guy's a bowling ball.
Well, and Pete slid over in pass protection, did a pretty good job. Now, again, no pads on, but for a smaller guy, that dude's a thumper.
Yeah, I went down that Pete rabbit hole a little bit as well because his 40 time's good. His vertical leap is outstanding. Inconsistent in college.
Fair.
You know, and that's why he didn't get a lot of opportunities. More of a kick returner with explosiveness in his game.
All right, you sexy beast. How are we sounding over here? We finally got eyes down here at the end of the field.
Fantastic.
Oh, this is, we're going to work here,
Terrence
boys.
Terrence Steele just stonewalled Micah Parsons on the first rep. That was gorgeous.
You need that.
Who's next?
That was Chauncey Golston. Maybe
that was Zach Martin
getting a little work on old Zach Martin.
So you do have Hoffman, who's clearly working with the ones here at center, and he's with the rest of the offensive line. So they got Adoga, it looks like, right now, Brian. What are you seeing here?
Yeah, Adoga. They've got him as left tackle number one in this drill. So let's see how they incorporate the rookie here. Guyton has played the last couple of days, but Adoga back in there.
We want to see Guyton against the ones, right?
Yeah, we do, and he'll rotate in. This was, I believe, Carl Davis going against Hoffman. Now, Davis is interesting. They don't have a lot of depth here at the one tech. That's a guy that showed a little bit of power.
Yeah, he is. He's a big, strong guy. Nice arm over move right there. Kind of got Hoffman. Hoffman couldn't get his off hand up quick enough, able to stop Davis from getting, went arm over and was able to beat him on the rep.
You a little nervous for your guy, Cooper Beebe, Wolchuk?
You know what? It's really the snaps. The snapping he's got to clean up. Okay, here's Mozzie going up against Tyler Smith. What are you seeing, Brian?
Yeah, I tell you what, nice job by Tyler, able to just keep Mozzie wide there. Mozzie's got to be a little bit quicker attacking Smith's hands. He's got to break him down a little bit better. But right there, now he tries to power bull him, and he was able to got by him a little bit there. Nice job by Mozzie of showing some power there on Tyler Smith.
Now, is there anything you can tell when it comes to the get-off? Like, all last year it was, man, he's just slow off the ball. Did you see, is that enough to tell right there if he's gotten a little quicker?
Yeah, it looks like to me, though, that they're trying. They're working on with him really hard on getting both feet in the ground. They don't want to be a one-legged football player, and he's looked like that rep right there, the second rep at least, he was able to kind of break down the blocker a little bit better there with Tyler Smith.
Okay, on my end, we actually have, so you got the, looks like some of the younger guys are playing on the other side here, so you're not going to have Guyton versus Micah right now. Right now, we're looking at Guyton versus
Darrell Johnson,
and Guyton with a nice stonewall there. That was a really nice rep from the youngster.
Yeah, they need to flip this. They need to get 60 over here, working with 71, because DeMarcus Lawrence just took Chima Adoga to school.
Three Live Mics is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Any sign of our guy Osa, who's going to join us in under an hour now?
Yeah, Osa's standing right behind Maj. Now, we just got the rookie, Marshawn Nealand. He is over here working with the ones. Nealand just had to go there, and he's working again. I think he's going inside against Steele and Martin. Or that might have been, that's TJ Bass, Brian.
Yeah, TJ Bass is, if they had to start a game, I kind of feel like that TJ Bass, if they had to use a guard, it wouldn't be BB. They would probably put TJ Bass in there.
And Brock Hoffman's your starting center right now?
Yeah, Brock Hoffman's the starting center. And I think they've got Beebe working over there where Eric is with some of the other young linemen.
Well, if anything else jumps out to you, gentlemen, we will be back with more three live mics here. We have G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30 and then Krusty's Corner at 2:40. So a lot of opportunity to observe the practice field throughout the afternoon as currently they got one-on-ones going on down there. Our training camp coverage every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation starting at 2 o'clock, although tomorrow will be a later start with the Rangers having some day baseball and will go until 7 o'clock. Ose is going to be up on the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing hot seat, same-day service guaranteed. That's coming up in about an hour. We'll continue with three live mics and get you the G-Bag of the Day here next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Training Camp 2024. Three live mics is in progress as we're getting some one-on-ones down there on the practice fields. Three live mics is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. This segment of the nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. And it's also brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Now, back to the fields. Here's Wolchuk Chiafalo.
Thank you very much, General. This is what it's all about. We got pads on, and now we got the big nasties up front working in the trenches. Brian, what are we seeing here? Is this some 9-on-7 work?
Yeah, 9-on-7 all run. Cooper Beebe is your center right now. Let's see how we get off here. Oh, nice push there. Good job by the fullback there. Hunter Lipke right there being square on the block. You got a lot of the young guys here. You got rookies involved here. You got Guyton Beebe in this drill right here. And so it's a really good work for these guys of getting off the football and letting the backs attack the holes.
I'm just telling you right now, all right, and I know that I'm the president of the fan club, but you saw the movement that Cooper Beebe just was able to create in the middle, the power, the strength. It's on display here with the pads on. Now we got Tyler Guyton working on the side. He's going up against Darrell Johnson. And Johnson's a guy that's going to have to step up maybe in the absence of Sam Williams. He was an undrafted rookie free agent a year ago that they were high on.
Yeah, they're going to have to kind of figure out what's going on with these defensive ends, these edges. You know, we've talked about on our show some of the veteran guys that they might go look at. But Will McClay, the group, they're going to give it this thing at least a week and kind of figure some things out and then go from there.
Eric, how you doing over on your side?
I'm getting a little bit blocked here, but you had Tyler Guyton doing a nice job. Something happened to his helmet, so we had to miss a couple of reps. Then Adoga jumps off sides, and they're like, all right, Tyler, get back in there. Your helmet's working now. So from my angle, I'm trying to move here because I got blocked a little bit. But Guyton and Beebe both did a nice job in the pass rush one-on-ones. That was encouraging.
Yeah, that absolutely is. I mean, that can certainly dictate the trajectory of this season if all of a sudden you're feeling better about this offensive line. What do you think your reactions to the 1v1? They wrapped up as we were going to break there, Brian.
I'll tell you what, though, I liked what Chuma Doga actually had a couple of nice reps against Micah Parsons, was able to kind of pin him inside one time and then the next time able to adjust with him and then knocked him onto the ground. I mean, maybe it was Parsons was trying to make an inside move, slipped a little bit, but Adoga still was in really good position to knock him out and make sure that he didn't get to the quarterback. So really good job on his part of going against a quality rusher.
All right, we got the starting offensive line back here. Now they're going I formation. They're working a lot of fullbacks here. I mean, how much do you think with how we're seeing the fullbacks first day of padded practice, are they really going to try and implement that into the offense, Brian?
Yeah, I think they really are. And like I say, they really do like Hunter Lipke a lot, and he became better as the season wore on. He wasn't a half-man blocker. He was a full-man blocker. He squared up very nicely there. Got a good pull right there. Okay, that's just a straight trap right there by Tyler Smith. That's old school football. They're just going to attack the the front side A-gap with a puller, and it's Tyler Smith, and he was able to clean things up in there. Boy, what a good-looking play that was.
Yeah, it was absolutely gorgeous. Your starting interior there was Hoffman along with Smith and then Martin working it again. They got Trey Lance now who's working at quarterback, but all this is pretty much just run game work. I think the big thing here is to look at how clean is the transition center to quarterback and then what kind of running lanes they're able to open up. Here's another one. They kind of go back to that.
Yeah, that was backside. Marshawn Lattimore, good job. He's playing the left end, and he's going to read the ball going away from him, and he just slides down inside. That would have been a tackle for loss. Good recognition right there by the rookie to make the play coming down the line of scrimmage.
All right, we got Mozzie now, who's getting back in here, and he's going to get some reps, I think, against the one unit.
Let's watch Schoonmaker here at the point of attack here. You got to kind of follow these tight ends. He's playing as the left tight end right now. I'm really interested to see if they're going to reset this thing. But he was lined up against Micah Parsons. I was going to be interested to see, being a running play, how Schoonmaker was going to be able to adjust.
Yeah, I'm hoping they come right back at that, because on the left tackle side now, it's Adoga next to Schoonmaker. Parsons lined up right up across from him, and then Mozzie inside. Here we go, Brian.
Oh, Schoonmaker was able to cut him off. You know, Parsons took him straight back. Parsons won with his hands. Schoonmaker was trying to position himself, and then there was an offensive lineman. It might have been Adoga that was on the ground, and he got pinned over him. But Schoonmaker was able to work inside. But, man, what a push by Micah Parsons to get up the field the way he was.
I'll tell you what, man. Micah's had a couple of moments there playing off-ball linebacker, shooting as soon as he sees where that ball's going, and going shoulder-to-shoulder with Lipke at fullback. That was a nice little thud.
All right, here's Tank getting motioned in here. They're going to go again off right side towards the middle. And I believe that was one of the backup offensive linemen working in the center group that ended up on the ground. That play did not work very well. But, you know, we're getting a close look here at Mozzie, DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah, and then Eric Kendricks has just been absolutely brilliant for the first few days of camp here, Brian.
Yeah, and Damone Clark, again, we talked about him early. This is the first group, and here's, again, Nealon moving now. He's going to play the right end, and let's see, that's kind of where he is he's a power player. Good job of hanging in there. Ball's going to go, Leofau got up the field really quickly on that one. That was very disruptive. Made the back. Pete have to cut back inside. He wanted to take the ball wide, but Leofau was right there to make the ball go back inside. Good job by the rook.
That was exactly what we were talking about with Zim there, Eric. The initial instinct of a guy like Maris Leofau to be able to identify it, the play recognition, and then he's going to funnel it back inside where hopefully you've got a teammate ready to make the tackle.
Yeah, that's exactly what Zimmer was talking to us about the other day when we got a chance to catch up with them. Zimmer's like, hey, I was asking about the missed tackle situation, and he's like, well, as long as I got a bunch of guys swarming to the football, we're going to be fine. Leofau will be the first guy there, and then he's holding him up for hopefully everybody swarming to him. So I thought that was a good point, because I was nervous about Leofau from that standpoint, but the instincts are obviously there.
Yeah. Same run game as last couple years, basically.
Yeah, you're seeing some of the pulling guards, but I'm not noticing any new wrinkles here from these first couple of snaps when it comes to run design at all, Brian.
No, they're just this 9-on-7 period was really about trying to attack the inside part of the defense. So really nothing new, except if you want to talk about more fullback. You know, we saw a couple more snaps where the fullback was either offset, meaning out of the eye, or a straight eye formation. So that's something that they might be looking at, more two-back set with a fullback.
Was Zeke getting any carries over there?
Zeke did not get a rep over here.
Didn't think so. Yeah, I didn't notice that. A lot of Royce Freeman, a lot of Dowdle.
Yeah, a little bit of Pete.
Mozzie's strength is not showing up here on these highlights at all. I know it's against Tyler Smith, the two reps that have popped up so far on Cowboys Twitter. Does it look any different down there on the field?
You know, I mean, I'll tell you from my standpoint, no, it doesn't. Were you seeing anything when it comes to the power from Mozzie working at all?
No, it really was inside there what happened. There were times where they attacked that A gap, and, you know, it was wadded up in there a little bit. You mentioned about Kendricks and those guys stepping up, Clark stepping up. But there was they were able to kind of attack. It was Golston and Mozzie inside, and the guards and the centers did a pretty good job of handling those inside, too.
All righty. Three Live Mics brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Go to mensteeclinic.com. We good for now, boys?
Yeah, we're good for now. They're making a transition. We might get some 11-on-11s. We'll keep you posted.
Right on. Of course, we have Krusty's Corner coming up here in less than 20 minutes now. Let's go into the Pimp Cup, where Alec Medford has your G-Bag of the Day.
Gentlemen, we are back with some more G-Bag of the Day, 2:30 weekdays here on The Fan. We have a new champion that we crowned yesterday. His name is Andy Durham. He is a low-A minor league baseball broadcaster for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. And this is the most unenthusiastic, unexciting, unmotivating home run call you will ever hear.
Hard toward right field. This is getting toward the fence. This is going to be carry on my wayward son. There'll be truth when you are gone. Mike Hogwood used to say, kiss that baby goodbye. Kiss that baby goodbye there for the tourists. Carry on my wayward son. There'll be truth when you are gone. That one's gone. Oh, yeah. Tourist add to their lead. 4-0 tourist. Fisher blast. That's 11 homers for Fisher on the season.
Wow. Very unique broadcast style there. I feel like he's a fill-in guy, Hagee.
That was awful.
I know.
Like, he was like, I got to get all my spots in, but I'm not going to give you any enthusiasm for it. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah, I just worked on this punchline.
Good song. Terrible recall.
I mean, he hit all his marks. Delivery.
There we go.
Ooh, baby, to Marvin Overshow, and you can see him on the first play. We got 11-on-11, sure, not to jump into G-Bag of the Day, boys,
no,
but I
do.
Know fans are excited about Overshow, and that was the first carry we saw from Zeke. He did a good job exploding into the backfield there.
We're all excited about Overshow, too, so we share that enthusiasm.
Damn right, man.
Yeah,
that was fun to see.
Bring it. Okay.
Picking up where he left off.
Who's next, Medford?
All right, you mentioned unique broadcast style. How about we go to the RJ and Chop Show, as Lucius would say. This morning, Bobby Belt. He pulled a bit of a Jared Sandler here.
A lot of the times when people are talking about, like, oh, KD did this, that, he gets tagged in a lot of that. There's stuff.
Dump it, that. Peyton, dump that.
Oh, I got it.
Let me write this down. Another thing for Bobby, using the S word.
Wow.
I talked with Bobby about that this morning. I was like, how's your show going? He goes, I guess it was okay. I said S. And I was like, why? And he goes, I don't know. I just kind of zoned out.
It's early. You know,
yeah.
It is early. It might have been some pretty good imbibing going on last night. I'm not sure. But I also feel like it's the podcast influence on us.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time before it gets all of us. That dump button is about to have its golden era in radio.
Indeed. That's why I love the pre-record.
Yeah. It is kind of weird how we're the only spoken word format that can't cuss at all. Like S.
True.
That should be on the table.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you want to start it
most
right now?
Most dads say that in front of their kids.
You want to say it right now?
No, I don't.
Okay,
no.
Just checking.
No, I don't want to test my luck.
I'm just checking. That. Just checking.
I'm telling you, play-by-play would be so much better if you could have an S-bomb after a home run call. You know, like a Shohei Ohtani 478-foot bomb. That would be so much better.
Holy F! Oh, my God!
That would just be so much better.
All over that fastball.
Petition to get more satellite broadcasts, so like alternate broadcasts with like John Kruk or something, where he can just go full crazy. That would be amazing. But we do have Kevin Hagland here, so I do want to throw in a bit of pro wrestling. Cody Rhodes, the WWE champion, was on Sneaker Shopping with Complex, and that's always a fun style of interview, but he was in a full suit for this Sneaker Shopping episode, as he always is when he's not wrestling. So he was asked by Joe LaPuma, like, what do you think about people who are, like, intimidated by you wearing suits and, you know, looking so professional all the time when they're just in jeans and T-shirts?
I don't know if this is appropriate for this show or not, but I'll say it, and I've said it in interviews prior. Anyone who I've ever worked with in business who's intimidated by the fact that you wear a suit, I feel like they have a little clearly, like...
Okay, I didn't know...
Like,
okay.
I mean, I don't know if that's a thing we can say on the show, but clearly, like, you've got your, like, maybe little...
Yeah, you don't have to back it up.
You know,
it's a... This audience, listen, we've done worse. Way worse.
They know who they are.
Exactly.
With a little... you know?
Wow!
That's just not suit energy to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He kind of putting off George Kittle energy, but talking about being in a suit. I don't think he's a genuine suit guy.
See,
I think it's a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he did make a very distinct effort to change his character, and he became a suit guy. See, I always think about that little D energy when it's on the road, when maybe it's a vehicle, maybe it's the noise you make with your vehicle, where I'm like, I got it. Compensate away, buddy.
Uh-huh. Yep. The loud ones, the big
ones.
Yeah. Yep. That's why I prefer a medium-sized truck.
Right now, the rental truck we have does give off little D energy because it is freaking
it
is huge. It is huge.
Yeah, that was a very big thing in college for me. You know, I drive the Chevy Cruze, the soccer mom car, so I wasn't doing anything crazy. But I always seemed to get stuck in the parking garage next to the guys that had, you know, the 350Zs and stuff that they put the aftermarket exhausts on. It's like, all right, what are we doing here?
Yep.
Let's see, what else do we have here? Let's go to an Odyssey station out in Nashville. This is 104.5 The Zone.
Smashville.
They are out there at Titans training camp. And things got a little heated when they were trying to sit down with another player, but Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle, I believe, he was over maybe like 10, 15 feet away yelling at one of the talk show hosts, Buck Rising, because apparently he's been talking a lot of bleep on Twitter about Jeffrey Simmons, and Jeffrey Simmons let him know about it.
Well, Jeff, you want to sit down? We can talk whenever you want to talk. Jeff? We'll deal with that later. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, I mean, we're on the air right now.
I don't care. You do a lot of talk on social media.
I'm right here, Jeff. We can talk anytime you want to. Unbelievable.
We got to make that happen.
Well, we'll deal with that later on. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, if you want to sit down and talk about this, we can talk about this.
I'm telling you, stop talking on social media. Talk to me.
I'm talking to you right here. Jeff, we tried to talk to you last week. I'm being rude to Roger. We'll deal with you later.
I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah, sorry, Roger McCreary. You got to go. I need to hear more of this with him and Simmons.
I mean, that's fascinating. I love a good player confronting media storyline. It's exceptional to be a part of. It's adrenalizing. I think Jeff wants to talk to him with no mic.
I'm sure.
No camera.
Because the host, right, is like, if he sits down, I win. I might get dunked on or punched or whatever, but people are going to watch.
I might get punched here.
Yeah.
I might get cussed out.
Yeah.
I mean, for the love of God, can we at least do it on my show?
Yes.
You know?
Fair.
But hey, you know, maybe this was something that needed to take place off air, and if that's the situation, you can't be scared of that either. I don't think the announcer was. You know,
he didn't sound scared.
Yeah, handled that perfectly.
He did.
That's great stuff. I always love it when the interviewer or the announcer can totally take themselves out of it and just capture the drama of somebody absolutely livid, even if they're the subject of that.
Agreed.
Of that anger.
Agreed.
Odyssey Station at Titans training camp. Cody Rhodes, RJ and Choppy Show, Andy Durham. Any other nominees, young Alec Medford?
That's all we got for today, boys.
Okay. I suppose you're going to vote for us, Heggie. Vote with us.
I'm going to vote for Andy Durham because, man, the fact that he not only got out like one verse, but he's like, I'm going to hit the chorus, I'm going to go back to the verse and give you no energy the entire way. I think he defends his title.
Yeah, we workshopped it yesterday. He should just do the, you know, the wayward son line.
Yes.
Cut it right there.
Yes.
Short but sweet. Everybody knows exactly what you're doing. And perhaps he has had that, enlightenment here in recent days.
Okay, or give me the energy. And, like, give me the drum beat. And be like, don't you cry, no.
Don't you cry, no.
Like, give me that. Yeah.
Yes. One or the other. Your dead ball's on right. Okay, who are you voting for over there, Wolchuk, Broadus? Who's next?
Brian is going to go with the champ. I am going to vote for Bobby.
For who?
Bobby Bell.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take the Nashville, the tennis Smashville.
Okay.
Odyssey.
How about you, Medford?
Ooh, a lot of power here. I'm going to go with Bobby Belt.
All right. I'll go with Belt as well to make this clean by a score of 3-2-1. And your new G-Bag of the Day champion. It's your morning show. Tune in 5:30 to 10 weekdays here on The Fan. Okay, the horn has sounded. What's that mean? What are they about to do, guys?
They're just switching it up with changing the yard line that they're going to be doing these 11-on-11s on. We'll have a full breakdown, Krusty's Corner, coming up on the other side.
Let's thank you, Alec, and for Lucius this week. You can send Lucius some love on social media. Tell him he's missed. But salute to Alec Medford for doing a nice job for us in the Pimp Cup. We are in the midst of three live mics down on the practice field here in Oxnard, California, brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Get back to being you, mensteaclinic.com. And it's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here. And here he is now with a headset down on the practice field with Wolchuk and Schiafalo. It's Broadus.
This is going to be glorious. Interviewing the Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broadus, for Krusty's Corner. First padded practice. And we just got to see Guyton versus Micah Parsons 1v1, baby.
Yeah, how about that right there? And, you know, Adoga has been running first today with the drills and then into this team period. And now it looks like the Jim Maurer and the training staff is working on him. It might be a hip or a lower back. But nice job by Guyton there. We've really seen exclusively of Micah Parsons playing as the right end. Haven't really seen him play any off-ball linebacker. But you're right. Him and Guyton now are locked up here in this team period. Yeah, good job by Guyton once again right there. Guyton's able to extend on him, got his hands inside. Micah really tried to, like, kind of bully him there a little bit. But, man, really good job by Guyton getting those hands inside and kind of controlling Micah Parsons and not allowing him to throw him aside.
And then it's Billy Johnson once again, T-Billy, coming up with the big grab.
Yeah, good throw there from Dak Prescott. Some of the other things, Brian, that we've been taking note of, Turpin in the backfield as a running back, getting just a little quick pitch out. They did the same thing with Zeke as well. And they also did some motion with Deuce Vaughn, like he was running a jet sweep and then gave it to Rico Dowdle out of the backfield.
Yeah, they're trying to kind of get your eyes going one way. And they ran that fourth down play. Really nice job right there with handing the ball inside, though, with Pete, and able to kind of get some positive yards right there. Excuse me, that was Malik Davis that was running the football right there. Good gap inside. But, yeah, you mentioned trying to kind of get everybody's, the defense's eyes going one direction and then handing the ball off. On fourth and three, they were going to try and motion Vaughn out of the backfield and then throw it to him in the flat. But it didn't work out. They covered it, and then Cooper Rush went back inside to McMath, and they were able to get a first down. So really good adjustment by them on a play that was probably supposed to go to the outside to Vaughn.
Can I jump in here, guys? Can you get, like, updated expectations on Guyton?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, right now, I think when it comes to expectations, we'll have to monitor Adoga. He's back now standing as if he's going to try and maybe get back into the action. But if he's going to be banged up, then I think, obviously, Guyton's going to be your starting left tackle. But, I mean, what are you thinking about expectations right now from what we've seen for Guyton?
Yeah, well, Guyton, you know, the couple of reps that he's been able to go has looked pretty good against the competition. Awesome Richards is the one now, so you got Guyton and Awesome Richards are kind of alternating a little bit here at left tackle. And Awesome Richards seems to have had a little bit more of trouble. There was a couple times where Parsons was able to walk him back into the quarterback, whereas Guyton hasn't been knocked back as much.
Yeah, and the issue is he can be a little top-heavy. He's so tall. We got a deep ball down the left sideline. That one's incomplete. I believe Trey Lance just missing that one. Cooper Beebe now getting some reps inside at center. I think Beebe pulling as well has looked pretty good. But with Guyton, I think that's the one thing we've seen. He can be a little bit early, or you'll see him lunge, and he gets himself out of position, Brian.
Yeah, it's all about how tired that you get, because you could tell when it's rep after rep after rep, that the technique starts to wane, and he's been able to kind of hang in there. He's such a good athlete that if he gets in trouble, he can recover because of his footwork and his length.
Gentlemen, we do have a little bit of breaking news here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. The Texas Rangers have made another deal, and I think he's going to fit in quite well. Big Country, the Sheriff, American professional baseball pitcher of the Detroit Tigers, Andrew Chaffin? Chaffin?
Oh, Chaffin, yeah.
Chaffin, okay. Andrew Chaffin from the Tigers coming over at 34 years old.
Chaffin right now.
Yeah, and I think you're going to be happy. You know, it looks like a veteran lefty reliever that can help the baseball team. Now back to you guys on the practice.
Hey, we'll take that. Rangers add a veteran lefty reliever, Mr. Andrew Chaffin of the Detroit Tigers. He's chafing his way right here to Texas. We're excited. Now we're going to get some work under center, and I believe it's still Hoffman working as the starting center with Dak Prescott. Dak didn't like what he saw left. Now he's going to go down to the right side to Dowdle. Dowdle get popped. And the ball came out. I think that was Kendricks laying the wood, man.
Yeah, that's Kendricks.
Kendricks has done a great job. The linebackers have had a super day when it comes to, if we were watching the tape tonight, I guarantee you we'd have high marks on all these linebackers. Clark, Kendricks, they've all played very, very well.
I don't know how intentional it is, but it feels like they're throwing to the running backs an awful lot.
Yeah, the running backs can't catch.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how well they can run either, Walchuk. That's why you got Turpin back there. And I like that. I like a little Turpin. I like a little CeeDee Lamb when he gets back here. You're going to have to get creative with the running back room.
So you get a little motion here with Ferguson. He's going to go back and play in the fullback set. And then an out route that was just caught. What'd you see here, Brian? That was, I guess, T-Billy Johnson again.
Yeah, how about that on the outside? I was watching with Guyton. He was going against Parsons, and Parsons was really, really wide because they had a wing set to his side. So it really removed Parsons. Good patience by by Guyton, though, to be able to kind of handle Parsons. Parsons tried to get him with a little power, but he was able to keep him wide on the play. Now we got Nealon going against Guyton here on this this side.
Yeah, they're kicking. This is going to be rookie on rookie. You got Turpin working slot left. Tolbert will be far left. Dak working in the shotgun. Good snap here from Hoffman. And Dak going to rip this right over the middle. It goes through the hands of Kevontae Turpin with Jordan Lewis in coverage.
Cooper Beebe
was
right there.
Jordan Lewis was trailing right there. There was a little bit of separation. And Dak just threw the ball a little too wide. Maybe for a receiver with some normal height to him, a little bit longer guy, that might be a reception. But, you know, when you got a little bit shorter receiver running that crossing route, you got to be able to get the ball right on him.
Eric, give me the Beebe update.
Yeah, Beebe's playing right guard. He's playing right there next to Ole Hoffman. He's stonewalling, folks.
All right, we're going to have a stack bunch over to the right side here. They got Stevens, Cropper. Cropper's going to move in motion. They're going to put Billy Johnson here wide all alone to his left. That snap a little bit low wayside and an interception from Nayshon Wright battling it with T. Billy Johnson. That one might have hit the ground.
It did. It hit the ground right there. That was fourth and three right there. And Dak, they tried to find a isolate one-on-one on Wright, and he was able to come up with the play. Billy Johnson was not in very good position to get that ball, and it wasn't really a very good throw from Dak on that slant on fourth and three.
Now we got a little bit of a stoppage here, but all in all, I think, you know, the things that we were looking at here, Brian, coming down, the offensive line, Guyton, we've talked a lot about. Nealon, I think, has looked absolutely fantastic. That might be a player both of us are eating crow on, because Nealon, I don't think we were as high on as others, but he's been fantastic. I can't quite say the same for Mozzie Smith.
No, Mozzie's looked like, to me, the body language hasn't been great, and I'm not an expert on body language, so I probably shouldn't even talk about it, but he looks a little bit frustrated by what's going on right now. The guards and the centers of this team are probably the best of the group when you start to talk about the line. But really nice work by the linebackers. You mentioned Nealon. And then Nayshon Wright, who just made the last play, he's been on a couple of different coverages where he's been able to defend the pass. He's one of those guys that's fighting for his job right now as well.
All righty, boys. More details here on the Rangers' new reliever, Andrew Chafin. 3.16 ERA this year, a career 3.39. Converted from a starter back in 2015. He's been with a lot of teams. Throws a four-seam fastball and a two-seam sinking fastball that each average 92 to 94. Tops out at 97. His main off-speed pitch is a mid-80s slider. So that is the details, the backstory here on Andrew Chafin. Lives with his wife and three kids on a farm in rural Ohio. He appears to be a real character.
Legendary lip ferret, dude. I mean, that's a top level stash.
Yes. Dude, not only the stash, but also a hell of a mullet. Like, that thing is flowing.
This guy's all party, for sure. I love that. And I think we got a defensive offside situation.
It was DeMarcus Lawrence.
Once again. How many times? We got Micah's got at least
Micah's
one today.
Micah's got two. Now Tank's got one. Heart count from Dak is nasty.
Okay, here's what we need. We need one of these moments.
He's got the cadence down now there. That here we go. He could throw some people off with that.
I thought Zimmer would be just tearing these guys up. You know, you jump off sides. I thought they'd be doing up downs right now. I thought they might be going to grab some bark off the furthest tree around
here. Do you think he's slow rolling into it?
Maybe. I'm waiting for him to just tear somebody up.
Yeah, I would imagine you don't want to lead with that. You want to let the frustration build. Plus, you got to get the players to like you a little bit before you start going off on them.
There was some Micah playing off-ball linebacker in coverage against Jake Ferguson. He did such a good job moving over quickly. Dak's got to throw that one wide, and he missed Ferguson, who seemed to be open on the play, but the closing speed from Micah Parsons working off-ball, impressive, Brian.
Yeah, I tell you, Micah's done nothing but rush the passer. Now we're in pressure period, and here he is playing off-ball linebacker. How about that?
All righty, there you have it for Krusty's Corner. The three live mics brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Get back to being you at mensteeclinic.com. Our training camp coverage rolls on here as we approach hour number two. Practice is going to wrap up. Ose is going to join us live on set. We'll get the very latest from him. Thank you, Al, again for Lucius this week. You can send Lucius some love on social media. Tell him he's missed. But salute to Alec Medford for doing a nice job for us in the Pimp Cup. We are in the midst of three live mics down on the practice field here in Oxnard, California, brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Get back to being you, mensteeclinic.com. And it's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here. And here Here he is now with a headset down on the practice field with Woolchuck and Schiafalo. It's Broaddus.
This is going to be glorious. Interviewing the Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus, for Krusty's Corner. First padded practice, and we just got to see Guyton versus Micah Parsons, 1v1, baby.
Yeah, how about that right there? And, you know, Adoga has been running first today with the drills and then into this team period, and now it looks like the Jim Maurer and the training staff is working on him. It might be a hip or a lower back. But nice job by Guyton there. We've really seen exclusively of Micah Parsons playing as the right end. Haven't really seen him play any off-ball linebacker, but you're right. Him and Guyton now are locked up here in this team period. Yeah, good job by Guyton once again right there.
Oh.
Guyton's able to extend on him. Got his hands inside. Micah really tried to, like, kind of bully him there a little bit. But, man, really good job by Guyton getting those hands inside and kind of controlling Micah Parsons and not allowing him to throw him aside.
And then it's Billy Johnson once again, T-Billy, coming up with the big grab.
Yeah, good throw there from Dak Prescott. Some of the other things, Brian, that we've been taking note of, Turpin in the backfield as a running back, getting just a little quick pitch out. They did the same thing with Zeke as well. And they also did some motion with Deuce Vaughn, like he was running a jet sweep and then gave it to Rico Dowdle out of the backfield.
Yeah, they're trying to kind of get your eyes going one way on the and they ran that fourth down play. Really nice job right there with handing the ball inside, though, and with Pete, and able to kind of get some positive yards right there. Excuse me, that was Malik Davis that was running the football right there. Good gap inside. But, yeah, you mentioned trying to kind of get everybody's, the defense's eyes going one direction and then handing the ball off. On fourth and three, they were going to try and motion Vaughn out of the backfield and then throw it to him in the flat. But it didn't work out. They covered it, and then Cooper Rush went back inside to McMath, and they were able to get a first down. So really good adjustment by them on a play that was probably supposed to go to the outside to Vaughn.
Can I jump in here, guys? Can you get, like, updated expectations on Guyton?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, right now, I think when it comes to expectations, we'll have to monitor Adoga. He's back now standing as if he's going to try and maybe get back into the action. But if he's going to be banged up, then I think, obviously, Guyton's going to be your starting left tackle. But, I mean, what are you thinking about expectations right now from what we've seen for Guyton?
Yeah, well, Guyton, you know, the couple of reps that he's been able to go has looked pretty good against the competition. Awesome Richards is the one now, so you got Guyton and Awesome Richards are kind of alternating a little bit here at left tackle. And Awesome Richards seems to have had a little bit more of trouble. There was a couple times where Parsons was able to walk him back into the quarterback, whereas Guyton hasn't been knocked back as much.
Yeah, and the issue is he can be a little top-heavy. He's so tall. We got a deep ball down the left sideline. That one's incomplete. I believe Trey Lance just missing that one. Cooper Beebe now getting some reps inside at center. I think Beebe pulling as well has looked pretty good. But with Guyton, I think that's the one thing we've seen. He can be a little bit early, or you'll see him lunge, and he gets himself out of position, Brian.
Yeah, it's all about how tired that you get, because you can tell when it's rep after rep after rep, that the technique starts to wane, and he's been able to kind of hang in there. He's such a good athlete that if he gets in trouble, he can recover because of his footwork and his length.
Gentlemen, we do have a little bit of breaking news here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. The Texas Rangers have made another deal, and I think he's going to fit in quite well. Big Country, the Sheriff, American professional baseball pitcher of the Detroit Tigers, Andrew Chaffin. Chaffin?
Oh, Chaffin, yeah.
Chaffin, okay. Andrew Chaffin from the Tigers coming over at 34 years old.
Chaffin right now.
Yeah, and I think you're going to be happy. You know, it looks like a veteran lefty reliever that can help the baseball team now. Back to you guys on the practice
Hey,
field.
We'll take that. Rangers add a veteran lefty reliever, Mr. Andrew Chaffin of the Detroit Tigers. He's chafing his way right here to Texas. We're excited. Now we're going to get some work under center, and I believe it's still Hoffman working as the starting center with Dak Prescott. Dak didn't like what he saw left. Now he's going to go down to the right side to Dowdle. Dowdle get popped. And the ball came out. I think that was Kendricks laying the wood, man.
Yeah, that's
Kendricks. Kendricks has done a great job. The linebackers have had a super day when it comes to, if we were watching the tape tonight, I guarantee you we'd have high marks on all these linebackers. Clark, Kendricks, they've all played very, very well.
I don't know how intentional it is, but it feels like they're throwing to the running backs an awful lot.
Yeah, the running backs can't catch.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how well they can run either, Walchuk. That's why you got Turpin back there. And I like that. I like a little Turpin. I like a little CeeDee Lamb when he gets back here. You're going to have to get creative with the running back room.
So you get a little motion here with Ferguson. He's going to go back and play in the fullback set. And then an out route that was just caught. What'd you see here, Brian? That was, I guess, T. Billy Johnson again.
Yeah, how about that on the outside? I was watching with Guyton. He was going against Parsons, and Parsons was really, really wide because they had a wing set to his side. So it really removed Parsons. Good patience by Guyton, though, to be able to kind of handle Parsons. Parsons tried to get him with a little power, but he was able to keep him wide on the play. Now we got Nealon going against Guyton here on this this side.
Yeah, they're kicking. This is going to be rookie on rookie. You got Turpin working slot left. Tolbert will be far left. Dak working in the shotgun. Good snap here from Hoffman. And Dak going to rip this right over the middle. It goes through the hands of Kevontae Turpin with Jordan Lewis in coverage.
Cooper Beebe was there.
Jordan Lewis was trailing right there. There was a little bit of separation. And Dak just threw the ball a little too wide. Maybe for a receiver with some normal height to him, a little bit longer guy, that might be a reception. But, you know, when you got a little bit shorter receiver running that crossing route, you got to be able to get the ball right on him.
Eric, give me the Beebe update.
Yeah, Beebe's playing right guard. He's playing right there next to Ole Hoffman. He's stonewalling folks.
All right, we're going to have a stack bunch over to the right side here. They got Stevens, Cropper. Cropper's going to move in motion. They're going to put Billy Johnson here wide all alone to his left. That snap a little bit low wayside and an interception from Nayshon Wright battling it with T. Billy Johnson. That one might have hit the ground.
It did. It hit the ground right there. That was fourth and three right there. And Dak, they tried to find a isolate one-on-one on Wright, and he was able to come up with the play. Billy Johnson was not in very good position to get that ball, and it wasn't really a very good throw from Dak on that slant on fourth and three.
Now we got a little bit of a stoppage here, but all in all, I think, you know, the things that we were looking at here, Brian, coming down, the offensive line, Guyton, we've talked a lot about. Nealon, I think, has looked absolutely fantastic. That might be a player both of you, us are eating crow on, because Nealon, I don't think we were as high on as others, but he's been fantastic. I can't quite say the same for Mozzie Smith.
No, Mozzie's looked like, to me, the body language hasn't been great, and I'm not an expert on body language, so I probably shouldn't even talk about it, but he looks a little bit frustrated by what's going on right now. The guards and the centers of this team are probably the best of the group when you start to talk about the line. But really nice work by the linebackers. You mentioned Nealon. And then Nayshon Wright, who just made the last play, he's been on a couple of different coverages where he's been able to defend the pass. He's one of those guys that's fighting for his job right now as well.
All righty, boys. More details here on the Rangers' new reliever, Andrew Chafin. 3.16 ERA this year, a career 3.39. Converted from a starter back in 2015. He's been with a lot of teams. Throws a four-seam fastball and a two-seam sinking fastball that each average 92 to 94, tops out at 97. His main off-speed pitch is a mid-80s slider. So that is the details, the backstory here on Andrew Chafin. Lives with his wife and three kids on a farm in rural Ohio. He appears to be a real character.
Legendary lip ferret, dude. I mean, that's a top-level stash.
Yes. Dude, not only the stash, but also a hell of a mullet. Like, that thing is flowing.
This guy's all party, for sure. I love that. And I think we got a defensive offside situation.
It was DeMarcus Lawrence.
Once again. How many times? We got Micah's got at least
Micah's
one today.
Micah's got two. Now Tank's got one. That heart count from Dak is nasty.
Okay, here's what we need. We need one of these moments.
He's got the cadence down now. Here we go. He can throw some people off with that.
I thought Zimmer would be just tearing these guys up, you know? You jump off sides. I thought they'd be doing up-downs right now. I thought they might be going to grab some bark off the furthest tree around.
Do you think he's slow rolling into it?
Maybe. I'm waiting for him to just tear somebody up.
Yeah, I would imagine you don't want to lead with that. You want to let the frustration build. Plus, you got to get the players to like you a little bit before you start going off on them.
There was some Micah playing off-ball linebacker in coverage against Jake Ferguson. He did such a good job moving over quickly. Dak's got to throw that one wide. And he missed Ferguson, who seemed to be open on the play, but the closing speed from Micah Parsons working off ball, impressive, Brian.
Yeah, I tell you, Micah's done nothing but rush the passer. Now we're in pressure period, and here he is playing off-ball linebacker. How about that?
All righty, there you have it for Krusty's Corner. The three live mics brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Get back to being you at mensteeclinic.com. Our training camp coverage rolls on here as we approach hour number two. Practice is going to wrap up. Osa is going to join us live on set. We'll get the very latest from him.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.